Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
all sit down, Kobe Shaq. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome to all that's here in a Wednesday night Bible study. Those of you all that are online listening on tonight, those of you all have called in, and those of you all will listen later. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. We thank God for another opportunity to be here on tonight to be able to receive in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We're going to continue our lesson of study as we have been studying on hope and the anchor of your soul. And so we thank God for the lesson on tonight as we go forward in this lesson, the continuation of this lesson of hope, the anchor of your soul. Let us pray as we enter in. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity that you allowed us to come boldly to the throne room of grace that we may receive on tonight. Great and mighty your word, oh God, that we may be able to apply it to our daily lives and live a life that is upright and pleasing to thy sight. So, Father God, we ask in Jesus' name, let us receive divine revelation and knowledge and wisdom of your word. Father God, we ask that you allow the scripture to take root and manifest in us, oh God, and be engrafted on our hearts and mind, helping us to keep our minds stayed on you, that you'll keep us in perfect peace. Amen. And we just want to say thank you, oh God, for your God of all hope, oh God. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Lord. We hope in you for all things, oh God, trusting in you, oh God, for a mighty move even right now on this Wednesday night, in this Wednesday night Bible study. Lord, touch the hearts of your children. Oh, Lord, I pray in Jesus Christ's mighty name that you would divinely intervene in every situation, hallelujah, concerning us and all that we're concerned about, and that you would turn it around for our good and those in our family. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we decree and declare victory right now tonight because we have hope that coming from you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, we ask in Jesus' name that you will bless this lesson as we go forward, releasing your warning angels to war against any spirits designed to stop our prayers from being entered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we come against every hindering spirit on the line, every unteachable spirit, every fighting spirit of manipulation, spirit of unbelief, amen. We spirit of pride, amen. We come against every lying spirit, familiar spirit, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we decree and declare by faith in the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, and in his name that our prayers will not be earthbound, but they will ascend into the supernatural. Amen. So Father God, we thank you right now by faith for answered prayers on tonight. And we thank you for your presence. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let us continue on tonight as we're picking back up from last week in our lesson of study. This month is the hope, the anchor of your soul. If you're just now tuning in tonight, welcome, welcome, welcome. And if you haven't been with us in the last couple of Wednesday nights as we've been studying the hope, the anchor of our soul, you can always go back on to the blogtalkradio.com/ the preacher and the pastor and click on the lessons before now and to get caught up. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about, you know, the different anchors and the five anchors for any condition. And so what are the different types of anchors? So there are many anchors, and we're going to talk about that tonight. Typically, ships at sea cannot survive the most severe storms without the use of anchors. And if you are anchorless on the sea of life, neither will you survive. Okay? So, however, as long as you have an anchored life, though battered and bruised, you will still be held secure. Amen. And as long as you have an anchored life, you will weather the storms of life. Amen. We thank God. So since there are many types of anchors, let us look at the following five anchors for any condition. So the first anchor we're going to talk about is the anchor, the mushroom anchor. So it's mostly used for smaller vessels such as rowboats and canoes, least efficient as an anchor because it has no arms. See, Jesus is our anchor. So as the mushroom anchor is used for smaller watercraft, Jesus stabilizes us as we move through the smaller, more minor problems of everyday living. He helps us stay steady with people who gossip and gripe, who lie and are lazy, who pout and are petty, and who annoy and who are nosy. See, Jesus anchors us when we have frustrating friends, problems, even with pets, or worry at work, and it's just a list. The list goes on of many things. the biblical example is that some of the disciples of Jesus who were fishermen by trade experienced the frustration of working all night, yet ended up empty-handed. Knowing this, Jesus tell them, put out into the deep. We find this in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. So if you're at the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, and it says, Jesus tells us, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But Jesus, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And Jesus then honors their obedience by filling their nets with more fish than they could possibly hold. Jesus proves himself to be our personal anchor for the everyday trials of life. So what we see here in Scripture in the Bible in chapter 5, verse 6 through 7, says when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. My Lord, my God. So now let's talk about the fluke anchor. It's lightweight, but with high holding power, buries into the water bottom, working best in sandy, muddy, or clay bottoms. So Jesus is our anchor, like the fluke anchor. Jesus stabilizes us with a powerful hold and with a sense of peace. Amen? With a sense of peace. So he is strong and steady, yet his presence brings us peace, a lightness even in the heaviest of circumstances, the death of a loved one, a devastating diagnosis. When we are struggling with ourselves and questioning our decisions, when we have unforeseen challenges and changes, when we are doubting who we are or doubting who he is, Jesus anchors us with his power and peace. Okay, so let me give you a biblical example here. Jesus sends his disciples ahead of him by boat to the other side of the lake so that he can take time alone to pray. And in the middle of the night, Jesus walks toward the boat on the water. Astonished, Peter instantly wants to join Jesus on the water, and Jesus said, come. And he does. He steps out and begins to walk, but then his faith in the known is weakened by the fear of the unknown. So as he takes his eyes off Jesus, Peter is consumed with fear. He starts to sink and cries out. Then Jesus reaches out and rescues him. Jesus proves himself to be our personal anchor. So when we look at life from our limited, finite point of view, rather than God's unlimited, infinite point of view, when doubt begins to dominate and faith begins to fail, in Matthew 14, chapter 14, verses 28 through 32, the Bible says, Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And Peter got down out the boat and walked on water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, next we're going to talk about the plow anchor. The plow anchor is usually massive and heavy, often able to swivel, effective in rock, kelp, grass, weed, sand, and mud, not in heavy grass. Jesus is our anchor, like the plow anchor. Jesus stabilizes us when all we can see all around us are trouble or problems. And with this swivel capabilities come in agility. You are in adeptness to anchor us through a variety of situations, poor choices, money problems, prodigal loved ones, painful losses. So when our problems are perplexing and what we see doesn't make sense, Jesus never fails to be our anchor. An example of that biblically is immediately after Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, he goes off alone to pray and sends his disciples by boat to Bethsaida. He knows they do not understand the meaning of the miracle. By evening, disciples reach the middle of the lake struggling to paddle against the wind. So Jesus watches them from the shore, and then in the the late night hours, Jesus walks out on the lake. They become terrified, thinking they are seeing a ghost. And Jesus quickly reassures them and climbs into the boat, and immediately the wind ceases. So Jesus proves himself to be our personal anchor. So when we don't know how to think or what to do, the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 47-52, when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples standing at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and then the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. The next anchor we're going to talk about is the claw anchor, originally designed for offshore gas and oil rigs, and most effective on rocky gravel and coral bottoms. So Jesus is our anchor like the claw anchor. Jesus stabilizes us when we are victimized, when vehement verbal abuse, violence, or sexual abuse cause the heart and body, leaving us emotionally and spiritually scarred. For the times when we feel powerless, Jesus is our powerful anchor, holding us strong and secure. A biblical example here is, well, inside the boat, Jesus tells his disciples that they will all go across to the other side of the lake. And once on the water, Jesus falls into a deep sleep and is not awakened by a storm that swamps the boat. The experienced crew believes that they are sure to drown. In desperation, they cry out to Jesus. With only a few words, he calms the storm, then questions their faith. After all, hadn't he said they were going across to the other side? Then he implied that they would indeed make it to the other side. Jesus proves himself to be our personal anchor when the storms of life are so perilous that the thought of death seems imminent and the memory of his promises seems to fade. The Bible speaks here, excuse me, y'all, sorry about that, in the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 22-25, to hold up what I just stated here, it says, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. So as they sailed, he fell asleep. A small calm came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and all was calm. He says, "Where is your faith?" He asked his disciples in fear, and amazingly, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So the next anchor we're going to talk about here is the sea anchor. It's made of a sturdy cloth, like either a giant sail or a parachute. It's lowered into the water to create a drag and slow the vessel down, especially when the water depth is too great for other anchors to grab hold to the bottom. So Jesus is our anchor, like the sea anchor. Jesus stabilizes us when we feel like a ship flailing in the water, tossed from side to side because of a compulsive addiction or besetting sin. So in the depth of our souls, he slows us down, helping us to see how our continued wrong choices will wreck our relationships and shatter our dreams. Jesus anchors us when the powerful waves of personal disappointment leaves us in despair, a hopeless state in which the only recourse seems to be death. Anything to end the pain, even in the most turbulent times, Jesus is there. He's our anchor in the deep. The biblical example here is facing a possible death. The prisoner Paul, Apostle Paul, is being transported by ship to Rome to stand trial. And in the midst of a hurricane strengthened winds, the crew loses control of the ship. So the tempest of the wind tosses the ship like a weightless cork toward the shore in attempt to diminish the speed. They let down the sea anchor. This is their only hope of not crashing into sandbars at a speed that will cause certain death. Jesus proves himself to be our personal anchor when life hangs in the balance and all hope seems lost. And we see this in the book of Acts chapter 27. It says, "In the wind of hurricane force called the Norster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not heed into the wind, so we gave away to it and were driven along. When the men had hoisted it aboard, they passed ropes under the ship until they hold it together, fearing that they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. They lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved." So when Jesus is your anchor, he can hold you secure in any storm because he has power over every storm. Amen. Over every storm in our lives. Amen. At this time, if you have any questions or any comments, we would like to take those at this time. We welcome all questions and comments. At this time, if you're online, you would have to call in 845-277-9213 and press 1. If you've called in today, you will need to press 1, and we will answer your call. All righty. Okay, just giving you all a chance here. If not, we're going to proceed on here, and we won't be on here long. Amen. Just hope you all can get what was already given and let that take root and in you. Amen. And bring about change. Amen. Let's talk about causes for misplaced hope to fail. Have you ever had your hope fail? You cannot understand why. You try to figure it out. You thought you had enough hope, plus a boat full of faith. Amen. And since the Bible says hope is the anchor for the soul, what causes an anchor to fail? See, the problem could be that the anchor is the wrong type for the water bottom, or the wrong size, or the wrong weight, or made of a wrong substance, or the wrong technique could have been applied, or the wrong calculation applied for the anchor rod, meaning too little, too much, or too weak, so that the holding power of the anchor is severely compromised. So many anchors that people rely on fail, causing hope to fail. See, in life, having the right anchor, hope with the right rod, faith, is just as critical for the largest ocean liner as for the smallest boat. We all have placed our confidence in something or someone that did not hold or that broke under pressure. My Lord, my God. So it's so important that in understanding, you know, when we have misplaced hope to fail, so we have causes for that. Amen. What are unreliable anchors? What are some of the unreliable anchors? And we'll talk about that. Or the pain of placing all of our hope in a person or in a position or in money or in our education or in or whatever it may be, only to discover that we have been terribly deceived. And what makes the deception worse is the fact that it was self-deception. Typically, someone warned us, yet we failed to pay attention. Temporal anchors like possessions, popularity, power, or position were never designed to be our anchors for life. We are told we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18. Amen. So what is temporary does not last. Jesus points out that misplaced hope fails because it is anchored in shifting sand. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 through 27, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash."
See, unreliable anchors cause devastating loss when they fail, and they inevitably do. Anchoring our hope in politics results in loss of hope when political systems crumble. The Bible says in Psalm 9 and 15, the nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. So we have to be careful what we're putting our hope in, you know, what we're allowing to anchor our lives. And many of us have done it. I spoke to many people that have done that, and it's unfortunate. And anchored our hope in economics. It results in loss of hope and resources of the economy weakens. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7 and 14, when times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. You know, and anchored our hope in society results in loss of hope when society rejects God's moral standard. The Bible says in Judges 17 and 6, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. It anchored our hope in the law. You know, results in loss of hope when the legal system fails. You see this all the time here. You see this all the time. The Bible says in Psalm 58, 1 to 2, do you rulers indeed speak justly? Do you judge uprightly among men? No, in your heart you devise injustice, in your hands met out violence on the earth. Amen. Taking our hope in vocation results in loss of hope when work is not meaningful. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. From whom I am toiling, he asks, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business. So anchoring our hope in the wrong things, anchoring our hope in health, results in loss of hope when the body deteriorates. The Bible says in Psalm 38 and 7, my back is filled with fear and pain. There is no help in my body. Anchoring our hope in money results in loss of hope when circumstances cause a monetary loss. Proverbs 27 and 24 says, riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations. Anchoring our hope in marriage results in loss of hope when a spouse is not faithful. The Bible says in Malachi 2 and 14, the Lord is acting as a witness between you and the wife of your youth because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Anchoring our hope in friendship results in loss of hope when a friend betrays a confidence. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 41 and 9, even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his head against me. Amen. So we have to be careful what we're putting our hope in. As you all are coming in on tonight, welcome, welcome. Amen. As we continue, anchoring our hope in children will result in loss of hope when children bring great pain upon their parents. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and 25, a foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. And Matthew 10 and 21 says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parent and have them put to death. My Lord, my God, anchoring our hope in longevity results in loss of hope when a precious loved one dies. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 2 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot. Anchoring our hope in religion results in loss of hope when we glory our good deeds rather than in God's gift of grace. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 5, it says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness for men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. So making sure that we are not putting our hope in the wrong places, having misplaced hope or unreliable anchors. We misplaced hope as well. Amen. So if you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. Please press 1. If you have any questions or comments at this time, please press 1. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's move along here. I want to talk about hope when it doesn't happen. Where is hope when it doesn't happen? Where is it? Where is hope when it doesn't happen? That is the question. In 1912, the most magnificent ship ever built set sail on its maiden voyage. It was called the heralded to the world as unsinkable. How then could the Titanic sink? A total of 1,573 went to their watery graves because the owner of the shipping line failed to provide the needed lifeboats. He wanted to set a transatlantic record for speed. So the typical question people ask is, why would God allow such a catastrophic? And typically God gets the blame, even though the ship received warning after warning about icebergs. So where is hope when God allows bad things to happen? Can you have absolute hope that God's will is going to prevail? What happens to your hope when it, or what are you hoping for, doesn't happen? Some people get angry at God. Others get angry with church. Others get angry with life when their expectations are not fulfilled when it doesn't happen. What do you, hallelujah, or what do we need to know about the will of God? What do we need to know about the will of God? That is the question. The will of God, let's talk about that. Surely it cannot be God's will that so many people die in a shipwreck. So what happened to God's will? Three words can be used to describe the will of God: perfect, permissive, and prevailing. Perfect, permissive, and prevailing. Okay, so God's perfect will. God has an ideal plan. God's plan is pleasing and good. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, God's example of that, God's perfect will is that everyone repent of sin and that no one perishes. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. As some understand slowness, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So let's talk about God's permissive will. God permits each person to exercise free will in opposition to his perfect will. So now we have God's permissive will. So because we have free will, he allows us to exercise that will. God created people not as, you know, as robots with no ability to choose, but as humans with the ability to choose independently of God. The Bible says in Joshua 24:15, says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The example of this is God's permissive will is that everyone has the option of choosing right or wrong, spiritual life or spiritual death, being blessed or being cursed. In Deuteronomy 30:19, the Bible says, this day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Then we have God's perfect prevailing will. God's plan cannot. God's ultimate purpose are achieved because he is sovereign. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. An example of this God's prevailing will is to grant full forgiveness and a home in heaven to all who repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Amen. Amen. So here we have God's perfect will, which is God has an ideal plan for us, and God's plan is pleasing and good. Then we have God's permissive will, and then we have God's prevailing will. So, and his plans cannot be blocked. So, and God's ultimate purpose is to achieve, or to achieve because he's sovereign. So what God set out, it will be done. Amen. It will be done. And there are painful circumstances. We're going to talk about that before we get ready to wrap up here tonight. And I thank you all for being here. Those of you all listening in on tonight, amen. You all that were listening in on the future, amen. There are painful circumstances. Since God ordains marriage and hates divorce, I'm believing God for the restoration of my marriage. He has to answer my prayers to unite my family. I am certain that God will change my rebellious son because that will be in God's will. I am confident that, you know, whatever it is that you're asking God for, believing will happen because that is what the Bible says should happen. And the conclusion here is that God indeed has his perfect will. However, he also gives people free will by allowing each of us to go against his perfect will. The hope you are given by God is not based on other people or circumstances. Your certain hope is that regardless of the choices other people make and regardless of the severity of the storms in your life, if you choose to do his will, he will work out his purposes for you and ultimately give you peace that surpasses all understanding. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. At this time, if you have any questions or comments, please press 1. If you have any questions or comments, please press 1. Any questions or comments, please press 1. Amen, amen, amen. All right, church family, I just thank God for everyone. I thank God for all that are listening in tonight and you all that will listen here in a later date. I thank God for you. I want to continue on here until about 7:45, and then we'll wrap up. Let's talk about confusion about hope. What causes confusion about hope? See, many people do not understand why their hope fails, yet in reality, their concept of hope is wrong. Consequently, understanding what Christians' hope is and is not is most valuable. So, Christian hope is not dependent on another person or a group of people, but rather is dependent on the Lord alone. Not wishful thinking, vague longing, or trying to fulfill a dream, but rather is assured, unchangeable, and absolute. Christian hope is not determined by circumstances, events, or abilities, but rather is determined by what is already secure and promised. Christian hope is not merely a desire, but rather is delayed fulfillment of reality. Christian hope is not dependent on the stars, the luck, the chance, or timing, but rather in predestined and settled in the heart and mind of God. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, in him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity purpose of his will. Amen. The question I have here is, why is it so hard to have hope? The answer is most people live by the saying, seeing is believing. If hope is so good, we want to see it, touch it, hold it. This mindset is anything but new. After the crucifixion, a certain apostle, often called Doubting Thomas, refused to have hope that Jesus had been seen alive. He declares to the other disciples, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, the resurrected Jesus stunts Thomas, the doubter, by showing him the holes in his hands and the scar in his side. From this moment on, he doubts no more. The skeptic becomes a believer, saying to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Jesus responded, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. That's in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 25 to 29, that you can find that. Amen. People drift without direction. Why is that? Why do people drift without direction? Have you found yourself drifting through life? You know, your life lacks direction, but you don't know what to do. Consider the why. An unanchored ship in the midst of a storm drifts wherever the winds and waves carry it. Even in fair weather, a ship will drift just as aimlessly unless it has a captain to give it direction. Just as a ship needs an anchor to keep from drifting into other ships, we need an anchor to protect us from drifting into destructive relationships. Since many people are not only anchorless but also directionless in life, they are in need of a captain to provide direction and an anchor to provide security. Christians have both an anchor and a captain in Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Amen. The winds of fear. The winds of fear. How do you survive the storms in life that severely threaten your moorings? What keeps your head above water when your heart is drowning? The way you navigate the dark nights of your soul says more about your faith in God than it does the way you face your fair weather days. Amen. And the Bible, understand what Scripture says. I want to go some viewpoints here in the name of Jesus. Amen. I know God can do anything. However, I'm really terrified that if I were to lose something that is dear, you take it out, that is dear to me, such as my job or my health, there won't be anyone to take care of me. The captain's view is, and it called it Deuteronomy 31:8, is the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The ways of isolation. Our viewpoint is I feel so lonely and isolated. I feel cut off from everyone, even from God. The captain's view, according to Isaiah 43:2, says when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The winds of disbelief. Our viewpoint is how can I believe in Christ when I don't see him doing anything in my life? And the captain's viewpoint is in 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen? The waves of persecution. Our viewpoint, when we see it, is so many Christians are persecuted in the world. I don't understand how God could allow Christians to be killed. And the captain's view, according to John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. The winds of disillusionment. Our viewpoint is I just knew that God was going to grant physical healing, but he didn't. I feel that God lied to me. The captain's viewpoint in Romans 11:34, who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The ways of temptation. Our viewpoint is no matter how hard I try, I'm not able to achieve victory over this temptation. I don't understand why God won't help me. In the captain's viewpoint, 1 Corinthians 10:13 to reference, says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up. So you can stand up under it. Amen? Amen. What's the root cause of hopelessness? What is that? What is the root cause? Let's talk about the root of it. What is the root cause of hopelessness? The famous Russian author Fyodor Dostoevsky expressed the heart-rending despair of hopelessness when he penned these well-known words, to live without hope is to cease to live. Hell is hopelessness. It is no accident that above the entrance to Dante's hell is the inscription, leave behind our hope, you who enter here. Amen. So no human being or situation can fulfill all your deepest needs. Both people and situations change throughout our lives. You may have days of feeling satisfied, but the satisfaction is temporary, the glimmer of hope fleeting. Only God can provide you with the love, significance, and security for which your heart longs, and God stands ready to meet your deepest inner needs. This is his promise to you. Amen. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches, his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Some have the wrong belief. Let's talk about the wrong belief as we wrap up here tonight. Nothing is meeting my real needs, and I have no reason to believe that will ever change. The future offers no hope for me. The right belief is I refuse to base my hope on anything that can be taken away from me. My hope is in my unchanging relationship with Jesus, my Lord and Savior. He is my need meter. In him, I have found the love, significance, and security that I need to embrace this life and to anticipate my future life in heaven. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:25, as I wrap up here tonight, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is my prayer that it be unto you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. God bless you all on tonight. It does wrap up our Wednesday night Bible study. If you have any questions or comments, amen, we'll receive them at this time. If you just press 1, we'll receive any questions or comments that you have at this time. Press 1, we'll receive any questions or comments that you have at this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll give you all a few seconds here. If you will press 1, we receive any questions or comments that you have at this time. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless everyone that's here on the line tonight. And those who are listening in, God bless you. God keep you. I pray that you're able to receive one tonight in this Bible study, as we will continue in our lesson study next Wednesday as we come back together at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time here at 845-277-9213. I pray the blessing of the Lord upon your life and those in your household. Father God, we thank you, oh God, for one more time that you allowed us to come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, oh God, that you are God of all hope, that we have hope because we have hope in you, oh God, that you're able to do all things but fail. And Lord, we give it all over to you right now, Lord. We ask that you have your way, oh God, that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for, Lord. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you for remembering us on tonight, oh God, as you that have kept us and not ourselves. And we give you all honor, praise, and glory, and all the admiration. We exalt your name above all names. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need you. Help us and those in our family. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. God keep you. You all have a blessed night in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Ore kasha.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace on the streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear her say,
give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him, and now I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. One time, I can't wait till I see ya.
One time,
one, 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 one. just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days until I finally stop breathing. Yeah. Sing and shout, then I'll